The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We are back, and we welcome you back. It's been a two-hour journey so far, Rachel Barbeau, and we have talked about a number of things, and we're going to start getting, including a conversation with Brooks Kabina earlier. Your phone calls are welcome at 855-242-7285, and let's check in with Sam, who is up next. Hey, Sam, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. I've been listening to you since 2011 when I came up to Birmingham. And I say that because I came up here because of a mental health issue that I didn't know was a mental health issue. I appreciate you having Rachel on. I had had a marriage that fell apart and had a problem with pain medication because of depression, but I didn't know that it was depression because I had been raised, as she was saying, I played football, was in the Army. I never really considered that I could have a problem like that. And she's right about isolating, that you need, a person needs to be able to connect with someone and speak about the issues. I had isolated and tried to take my own life twice in a week. And thank God he allowed me to live and allowed me to know that he is real. And I came up to Birmingham from Pensacola to go to the Foundry Ministries. And I was able to get things back together, but it was only through the realization that it was depression that had caused my drug problems. And I just never considered that could be a thing that could happen to me. And it was really refreshing to hear her speak about this, and also to know that she's diligently trying to help other people. It's awesome, and I appreciate you having
her. Well, Sam, first of all, I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to attend a Foundry event. I think I was speaking at it in Birmingham, and it's a phenomenal organization. I'm really glad you found them. I have a lot of friends who spend time there helping and contributing, but I think we all hear things, and you know, you've lived it. Everyone has gone through some semblance of this, but nothing quite to the degree. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you are in good shape right now.
By the grace of God, I thought that I'd never be able to own a home again or have a family, outside of my immediate, my mother and siblings. I got married and was able to buy a home, and have recently finished a CDL school and gotten a good truck driving job. And again, it's by the grace of God and the help of, you know, counseling and things like that. It's unbelievable.
That is so great to hear.
I like that she's... Go ahead.
You can know, Sam, you tell... I want to hear your story.
Well, I like the fact that she's encouraging people. And again, she made a point about men who tend to keep these things inside or private, or even be in denial because of how we were raised, and especially those of us that were athletes or maybe in the military. So I really appreciate the fact that she's encouraging people to reach out to someone to get whatever help it is that they need.
Well, that is great to hear, and I am so glad that you shared your story with us, Sam, and all the very best, and keep going. You're an inspiration to a lot of us.
Well, thank you, Paul, and you too. And I appreciate I love your show and appreciate things like this when you have a guest who, speaking of inspiration, who can inspire or help some of us who may not even come across it if we didn't catch it on your show. So thank
well,
you for that.
I thank you for saying that, because sometimes we all in this profession get so hung up on giving you the latest score, but I've always been a believer in that, and fortunately. I work for people that encourage it as well, and we'll keep doing that. And you keep you keep living that life of yours, and stay in touch with us, okay?
Okay, Paul. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you very much. What a great story. I mean, I when you hear a story like that, it does make a lot of this worth it. And I know that sounds cliche, but you forget sometimes that there are, I think COVID helped bring it back to life. But I think something else Rachel said, that this is such a precarious time for a lot of people. I'm jumping on a plane tomorrow for the second time in a matter of days, something I have not done much in the past year and a half. And that was coming from someone who was traveling 5 days a week. It's different, but once you get back to doing it, it becomes fairly commonplace. But you have to re-enter society, and a lot of people have certainly gone through a great deal in the past 15 months. Let me continue with Augie, who is up next. Augie, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. You see, it's tough being a radio talk show host, but it's tough being a caller following a guy like that, a story like that, with just some foolish talk about sports and college football mainly.
But you know something, Augie? Yep. Let me say this. His call was very compelling, but I was talking to a friend today about politics. He does a similar thing to what we do. And people come to places like this to mostly get away from their problems. It's hard to listen to some of these stories, but there are a lot of people, including myself, who want to talk about what we like to talk about every day as well.
Yeah, and I was going to talk about something else, but it seems like we're going off in another direction. But your talk show for a lot of folks is the interaction with other humans of the day for a lot of people. And I know you know that, you realize that, and it's obvious from some of the calls you get. So,
yeah, Augie, there are a lot of moving parts today. But there are a lot of baseball games, and some of you have been watching Florida lose to USF, and we welcome you back to our show. The game was in a delay earlier, so that's why we left briefly and came back. But there was a lot going on today, and Augie, don't lose your thought. I want to come back to you because I know you're a baseball fan as well, but we will certainly update you on everything that has been going on throughout the day. It's been a very busy day. So we are aware, guys, so we're going to go to the break here. Let me Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch, thank you for the call. Great to have you on.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how are you?
We are doing well. Thank you so much.
Well, do I need to say any more that your show is more than just a show? That your show has been a savior to a lot of people, not just myself. And not many talk show people allow people like myself to come on the air and tell their personal laundry. But you not only allow it, but you seem interested. And the young lady that you interviewed, you know, from what I've said, I understand what she's been through. But I also understand what it feels like to come on the other side of it. And that's my hope and prayer for everybody, that no matter what we go through, we come out of it a better person. And your show allows some people, not everybody, most people want to talk about sports, but your show allows some people to be human and admit that they need some help, and your show is giving them that help just by allowing them to voice their voice.
Well, Mitch, thank you for saying that, and I couldn't have been any more moved by what our friend said a minute ago, or by what you have said in the past. And I think what's so interesting, and I hear it and I see it in real time, just from, you know, what people are posting, what people are saying on and off the air, that we are going through a reckoning, as Rachel said. And I think every time that you say something about what you've been through, or someone else says something, it may seem like we've changed the subject, but you understand better than most how many people out there driving along or sitting at home alone, sitting at home alone, have been helped by the phone call.
Well, you know, as the host of this show and the chief commentator, you could have stopped this a long time ago. You could have said, no, we're only talking sports. So that speaks well of you.
Well, but Mitch, let me say, one thing COVID taught me is, and Rachel said this better than I could ever say it, you know, what I was thinking about on March 11th, and what I was interested in on March 11th, 2020, has changed. I think we've all learned, and you know this better than anyone, we've been on an interesting journey here for these past 15 months. And I'm not the same, and I know a lot of people aren't as well.
No, but I wanted to add one thing to what she said, if you don't mind.
Please.
And I'm not calling anybody out, per se, but before you make comments about somebody, consider whether or not you know what that person may or may not be going through. I shared with you, I've been speaking to one of your callers.
Yes.
If people knew really this person's situation and what they're going through, the fact that this person calls and basically discusses the same thing every day is only because that's all they know. And I'm not saying that.
No, Mitch, I clearly understand what you're saying, and I appreciate it, and I think you know how I feel about that individual, and I really don't care. I don't care if he's. And by the way, it doesn't matter to me if it's the same call for the rest of my life. I still want him to call.
And you know what? He loves you. He loves you. He looks forward to talking to you, even though it's going to be the same conversation. He looks forward to.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know what, Mitch? I hope I live long enough for him to be right about that call.
Well, I think that if he does get to see that happen, oh Lord!
I just hope that I am there, and this has nothing to do with partisanship. I just hope I'm there to see him enjoy that victory, because it would truly be remarkable. We are up against a break here. Appreciate everyone's call. It's been quite an afternoon already, and we still have time to go. And we look forward to talking to you right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. Headline on a story by Mark Inabinet in AL.com we showed earlier is very interesting. 20 SEC stars who can't be enshrined in the College Football Hall of Fame. Mark is joining us now. And Mark, I have to tell you, I was blown away by your article in terms of the way they're doing things at the College Football Hall of Fame. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And what an interesting, I mean, these things should not have been revelations, but they are to me and many other people. Good afternoon. And can you explain this whole situation?
Well, the situation is the College Football Hall of Fame released its ballot for the class of 2022 on Wednesday. And it's always interesting to me to look at the fellas, the players who we think of as big stars, big names in football, who not only are not going to be in the College Football Hall of Fame, but they can't even be considered for the ballot because of the requirement that you have to be a first-team All-American selection by one of the consensus selectors. And some of the guys on that list are did not have College Football Hall of Fame careers. Bart Starr at Alabama, Kevin Green at Auburn were not College Football Hall of Famers, although they are big football names because they were stars in the NFL. But there are other fellas on that list, other players on that list that you think, wow, you know, he's not going to be in, or he's not even going to be considered for enshrinement. And some of the players I think people think are already in the College Football Hall of Fame, like Joe Namath. I'm sure a lot of your listeners probably think he is in the College Football Hall of Fame, but he is not and cannot be.
I mean, we're talking about Jason Witten, one of the greatest tight ends of all time. Ken Stabler, who's not in the NFL Hall of Fame, is an old story. But Joe Namath, Julio Jones, I mean, this Eli Manning is only the number one player selected twice. And I realize that we're not talking about their pro career here, Mark, but do you have any idea? I mean, there are good people that are part of the College Football Hall of Fame, but have they ever thought about changing this archaic rule?
Well, I don't know how archaic it is, and the rule is in place because if you think about it this way, if you weren't an All-American, should you be in the College Football Hall of Fame? It's like saying, if you never went to the Pro Bowl, should you be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? And there's no prohibition about getting in the Pro Football Hall of Fame because you just take each player.
Yeah, Mark, the Pro Bowl's a little bit different, though. You can get into the Pro Bowl, you can replace somebody. But, yeah. You know, there are certain, you wrote about it, but there are just certain years where there's only one spot, and right. It is subjective. It's like, Eric Crouch won the Heisman. I mean,
a good example of that is Eli Manning, who you just mentioned. Eli Manning won the 2003 Maxwell Award. That means he was the player of the year in college football for 2003, at least by this venerable and prestigious association that gave him the award. But he can't get on the ballot for the Pro Football, for the College Football Hall of Fame, because that year, the five consensus selectors all had Jason White of Oklahoma as their first team quarterback. And this is a problem you run into with some of the singular positions like quarterback and center are two very ones that come to mind that, that have a lot of these things where a guy was one of the top players in the country, or in Manning's case, was the top player in the country, at least by one measure. But he can't be considered because he didn't. There was another player that was right there with him. Dwight Stevenson of Alabama is a, another good example as a center. He was, if you look at the All-American teams in 1978 and 1979, you'll see a lot of them have second-team selections, as they do now. And you'll see him as a second-team selection. And you'll see Jim Richter of North Carolina State as the first-team center. So Jim Richter is eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame. He is in the College Football Hall of Fame, but Dwight Stevenson is not and cannot be considered. So that's where it's those kind of things where you're kind of a victim of circumstance for that 1 year, where guys get left off and left out.
Well, Mark, you're much more thoughtful. I think it's a stupid rule, okay? I mean, I just think it's insane that some of these people, you know, and, you know, Joe Namath is another. I mean, Joe Namath, you know, brought some of this on himself, I'm sure. But the idea that Joe Namath is not in it is baffling. And I'm not saying I don't understand rules. I mean, I do. I don't really like to follow rules, but I do understand them. But I just... You know, to me, this seems like there has to be some wiggle room, and it doesn't sound like there's going to be.
No, there probably isn't. One interesting point about Joe Namath was his senior year, there are six quarterbacks who are qualified to be on the ballot for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, from the College Football Hall of Fame for 1964, and he's not one of them. Because at that time, you were having to transition, and a lot of All-American teams, or the consensus All-American teams, were still going under the old way of picking four backs instead of having a quarterback, a couple of running backs, that kind of thing. They just picked four backs. So some of them had more than one quarterback as All-Americans, which qualifies them to be in the College Football Hall of Fame. Joe Namath wasn't any of those six, which is kind of weird. One of the problems, though, is the number of people who are eligible just by the All-American standard. You know, you have 445 people in the players in the SEC who have been first-team All-Americans by a consensus selector, making them eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame. Not all of them are eligible right now because there's a 10-year waiting period and you can't be in the still playing in the NFL. But yeah, that's a lot of guys just to wade through right there.
That's a good point. And by the way, some of you, hopefully a lot of you were here yesterday when we had Sylvester Krum on. And, you know, I did not even realize until we interviewed him that he had been a first-team All-American. And thank goodness he was, because if there's ever anybody that deserves to be in the College Football Hall of Fame, it is Sylvester. But it is baffling. I give you a lot of credit for digging this up, because, you know, sometimes you think you know everything, Mark, and I had no earthly idea that. I mean, if you had said to me yesterday, given me six of those names, I would have sworn they were in the College Football Hall of Fame. And people just don't understand. I've had the fortune of being at that event. It is such a magnificent event, too. It brings people from all walks of life, politicians, presidents, and obviously every college football coach in the world is in that audience. I mean, it's hard to describe how exclusive that night is, and it's traditionally been in New York. I know it's changing its venue, but so you're telling us it's not changing, right?
I don't think so. I mean, they might have some revelation. National Football Foundation might have something up their sleeve, but I don't know about it. It's been this way for a while now, and it's certainly a gatekeeping function for them, because you are dealing with so many players. It's just unfortunate that some of the players that get caught in the net and cut out are players like Eli Manning and Dwight Stevenson and Willie Anderson of Auburn, who had the bad misfortune of being a tackle at the same time as Jonathan Ogden and Orlando Pace. So he's a second team guy. And then when he got in the NFL, of course, he had a fantastic NFL career for the Bengals.
Well, thank you for ruining a lot of our days by telling us some of our heroes will never be in the College Football Hall of Fame. Mark, seriously, it was really great to have you on. It's a great pleasure, and great job of putting this story together. It was fantastic.
All right, I appreciate it. I hope people enjoyed it. It's very interesting. The history of the SEC is just so fascinating in football.
Be well, Mark. Thanks a lot. Great conversation there. And we will take a break. It's been a busy show. We still have 90 minutes remaining. For those who missed yesterday's show, Sylvester Croom told us, shows you how organized the people at the College Football Hall of Fame are. He didn't even know he had been, he was on the ballot until Mark Kubiak from our show called him about 2 hours or an hour or two after the ballot was announced to book him for our show. Maybe they need an organizational meeting up there. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You back. It's been a very busy afternoon. So much going on. More of your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. And let's check out John, who is in Virginia. Hello, John.
Hey.
Good afternoon.
Oh, am I on?
You are on. Yes, you sure are.
Okay, sorry. This is my first time calling into the show.
Quite all right.
Yeah, but so I've been keeping up with the College World Series. I also was a fan of George Mason baseball. I know that we were in quite a top-heavy Atlantic 10, but speaking of which, I wanted to know what your thoughts would be if certain conferences or even all conferences kept divisions going into next season, because I know at least in the Atlantic 10, in I think the A-10 North, I think it was Fordham that was projected to do pretty well in the preseason poll, and they didn't really have, they more of had like a bottom heavy conference with like LaSalle and St. Joseph's all like stacked in their groups, and I felt like that the divisions made things a little bit more unbalanced. But I wanted to get your thoughts on whether that would be like a good idea for like conferences to do going forward.
Yeah, you know, this is a big debate, John. But you know, the Big 12 finally, in getting a conference game, they have the two best teams play, where the SEC and other leagues still do divisional play. I'm still a traditionalist. I like the idea of everyone in a particular division having more incentive and making those games more meaningful. It's also, I work for a television network, and those games matter more when there's a division at stake. Now, a lot of years it doesn't matter, but I think ultimately if we expand the playoff, though, it is going to, and we will, it's going to make the divisions more difficult to maintain, because it's going to be even more about the playoff than it is now, especially for those who to give more schools an opportunity. If you had two really highly regarded teams in your league, and they just so happen to be in the same division, it does make it a little bit uneven. One more example here, like Alabama twice has not won its own division, but has ended up winning the national championship.
Yeah, because I know in the Atlantic 10, George Mason had to deal with, or in their division, they had VCU, St. Louis, George Washington, all the teams which were basically on the top half of the preseason poll. But one thing I also think that the divisions, at least when you have them in like some of the mid-major conferences, well, I don't know, I would say the Atlantic 10 is probably mid-major baseball, but maybe not for like basketball. But I feel like for those bottom teams, like St. Joseph's, for example, which made the postseason, like it wasn't too high in the preseason poll, I feel like it gives those teams a better chance of making the postseason.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Hey, well, thank you. I'm glad you got on the show today, and I hope you'll do it again. Clarence is up next. You are on the air. Hello, Clarence. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great.
I got two things for you. Number one, do you think Bo Nix can win the Heisman this year?
No, I don't. I would think he would be the first of all. I think Bo Nix ought to try to win the starting job first.
Why? You don't think he can hold it?
I mean, I would think he will, but I don't think it's a guarantee. And to win the Heisman,
I ain't worried one bit.
Well, I'm glad you're not. And to win the Heisman, you had better really be. You'd better distinguish yourself. And right now, if you were ranking the quarterbacks, even in the SEC, where would you rank Bo Nix?
I don't know. I might have him at number three, probably.
Okay, so he would be. He would be behind. I'm curious who he would be behind.
I don't know. I really like that boy up at Mississippi State, Will Rogers.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty good.
What about the guy at Georgia? What about the guy at Ole Miss? What about the guy at Alabama?
Well, I think the guy at Alabama is probably first.
Okay. Well, if you're the local chairman of the Bo Nix for Heisman campaign, I wish you a very speedy recovery. We will take a break. I mean, I think Bo's a great young man. I don't think he's in the Heisman race right now, unless Auburn has a spectacular season. I'm not sure what the odds of that are, but I'm sure somebody has them winning it all. We will take a break. More to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Biggest rivalries, best players, boldest statements. Call now, 855-242-PAUL. That's 855-242-7285.
And we welcome you back. David is up next as we continue here on a Friday afternoon. Hello, David.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you.
Just a quick question. If you can play Frankenstein and build a head coach out of everything that a head coach has to do today, excluding Nick Saban, what would you put into a head coach as far as being the CEO of a program, a recruiter, a play caller, a handshaker, fundraiser, and then what coach needs for each of those parts?
Well, that's a really good question, and I'm going to do it in many parts. I want you to help me here. I don't know. I want Sam Pittman as part of this Frankenstein for his authenticity, because I think he there are some young people, young men who will play for him just because he has such a calm and cool approach. I like Kirby Smart in terms of just his resiliency. I think Jimbo Fisher does have a lot of personality. He's also steely-eyed. I like Mullen in terms of his – I'm just keeping this in the SEC for now. In terms of his drive, I like Drinkwitz just from just a pure exuberance and desire. You want to throw one or two in to help me here?
He's no longer in the SEC, but I like Sarkisian for the play calling.
Think,
you know, last year it was almost art.
It was.
There and, you take Nick Saban out of the CEO program management. I don't know who would be that because you're truly running a business.
Yeah, I think it depends on where I want you to recruit. Now, if you're telling me I've got the number one player in the country in South Louisiana, I know who I'm sending, and so do you.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm glad to hear those. I like those answers. The last question, a quick, easy one. At the end of your playing career, would you rather have a national championship or a Super Bowl victory?
I think if I had a long NFL career, I would. I think the Super Bowl victory is really how you are defined. Now, if my career did not involve much in the NFL, I would. I would certainly. Look at Tim Tebow. Look at those super. He not only won two national championships, he won a Heisman Trophy, and he'll never have to buy a lemonade again in the state of Florida.
I'm just old school. I'm a college guy. I love the college game so much more than the.
No, I do too. But I'm telling you, I know a lot of NFL players, and in that circle, if you have a long NFL career, that Super Bowl victory, that Super Bowl ring, never leaves you. But yeah, I think it's more about where you're living. If you're living in Jacksonville, Florida, or Birmingham, Alabama, I want to have won the national championship. But if you're in New York or Chicago or L.A., that Super Bowl ring will take you a long way.
I can see it that way. I'm originally from Alabama, so that maybe that's why the college means more to me than the NFL does.
Well, no, there's no question. I like the questions, though. That was one of the better calls we've had in terms of pertinent questions. Let's cut to James, who is up next in Arkansas. Hey, James, thank you. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. I want to talk a little baseball.
Okay. Pretty good time for that.
How come Arkansas gets treated like the redheaded stepchild? I mean, here they are playing today, and they're not even on television.
Well, let me try to answer that, okay? It's a fair question, and I understand the frustration with Arkansas fans. And I also want to be clear here. I do not understand exactly how this works, but you have, what, 9 SEC teams playing. You have 2 games on this network, the game earlier with Florida, and then the game tonight that follows us with Vanderbilt. Alabama, I believe, was on one of the ESPN channels. I'm trying to think who else. There was another game. Well, I think South Carolina was on. And then some of them are on digital. A lot of people have asked the question, it's a fair question, why is this show on right now? I have no idea. I don't make those decisions. But you have to leave a window. Like the game in Gainesville, it started at noon. It had a 2-hour rain delay. So there has to be some place to – you can't just stack game after game after game. You have to leave a little bit of space. I don't know
– One more little –
Yeah. Go ahead.
One more little comment. Who has been number one almost all year?
There's no argument. I mean, we've had Coach Van Horn on this show 2 or 3 times in the last couple of weeks because we understand the importance of it. But I wish I had the answer, but there's also a digital element now that is very important in the world. Let me see if I can get you a better answer than I've given you. I've given you the facts. I haven't given you the answer maybe you were looking for. We have an hour to go. Don't forget, Vanderbilt follows us at 7.